Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I typically record in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But during this time of unprecedented upending of schools, we're changing our podcast from a weekly podcast that was every Monday, Talk to Me in the Car, to a daily podcast we're calling Talk to Me in the Coronavirus, where we'll have every day, new topics, new prompts, new discussions, new things to kind of get our brains unstuck with about 10 to 15 minutes of bite-sized PD every single day. As an instructional coach, I work with teachers across all content areas. That's English, math, science, history, world languages, religion, business, phys ed, you name it. I've worked with littles, middles, high schools, adult learners. I've done PDs for people who teach at college levels to people who teach at pre-K. And what we find in all of this is there's something very unifying and very good about the idea that we don't actually teach content, we teach kids. And so recognizing what makes kids, what makes people excited, what makes them enthused, what makes them energized, is maybe the difference between our lessons succeeding or maybe falling short. And so I wanted to spend some time today and every day on the podcast to deliver those kind of bite-sized strategies if I can. A, it gives me something to do while I'm pacing around my house. But B, I find that in a time of uncertainty, a lot of us are building the plane as we fly it or trying to pilot the ship when we don't actually know the course. And having an instructional coach here on call is an awesome way for you to help get yourself unstuck. So any little thing I can do to help get you there, I'm all in to help if I can. I think that's a valuable thing and a thing worth doing. So I'm going to keep it up. Today, we're going to talk about the value of playing outside. But before I get to that, some housekeeping notes just very quickly. If you like what you're hearing and you want to help other people find the podcast, that's awesome. Leave a rating in your favorite podcasting app. iTunes or podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find it. That's awesome. It'll be really helpful. It helps other people, you know, get access to the same material. Likewise, if you want to keep the conversation going, like I said, I'm just one person. I heard a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk. He says, "I don't pretend to be an expert. I am just IHOP. I have ideas, hypotheses, opinions, and what do you say, predictions, maybe? Yeah, ideas, hypotheses, opinions, and predictions. So think like IHOP. I just have my ideas, my understanding, my read on it as a coach. But maybe you have something totally different. I would love to hear those too. The conversation actually makes all of us stronger together. So feel free to hit me up on Twitter. I'm at @mehanedu over there. And if you want, I share my resources, share my templates, and anything I can do, all sorts of social media stuff, all sorts of streaming stuff, all sorts of links and blah, 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 downloadables. You can find those on adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. So if that's something that you're interested in, check it out. Like I said, I share as much as I can for free on the website. It's right there for you. I also wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And if you're looking for a PD read, and this time we're kind of hunkered down, figuring out ways to make your school or your class, your online teaching a little bit more exciting, well, that might be something for you. But today I want to talk about the value of playing outside. For me, I don't know about you, my school shut down 2 weeks ago today. So it's been, not every day was expected to be online teaching. We had some weekend days in there. So like, I think there was 4 weekend days, right? 2 Saturdays and 2 Sundays where we would not have been normally teaching. We also had last Monday was supposed to be a teacher professional development day where we had to train up on how to do distance learning in a very quick turnaround. If your school was like mine, like you had about an hour or 3 hours to clean out your classroom and switch your whole class to online learning. And especially if you teach littles, you're like, yeah, good luck. That's not going to happen. And then after that, we had Tuesday and Wednesday of last week off. They called them snow days, but they weren't snow. It was to prepare for the shift to online learning. Because the online learning for us, at least at first, was scheduled to be a 2 to 3 week plan. It would lead us up into our spring break, and then we would come back from spring break on April 20th, where Catholic schools would take a late break. So ours would be like the week after Easter. So we're off like Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, Saturday, Sunday, and then like the full week afterwards. Well, that plan had to change. The governor of the state of Virginia, I think this past Monday, closed every school in Virginia for the rest of the school year. That's for safety's sake, and that's not unlike many schools throughout the country. I've seen the similar pronouncements coming in down the line from different state governors and other schools. I have a friend who works in Tennessee that even though they haven't been told that they're done for the rest of the year, the governor said you're not allowed to come back until at least like May 1st or May 5th. and their school year would like effectively end a week after that. So for all intents and purposes, their school, because they have an earlier start, is closed for the year. So what does that mean, right? It means that we had to do, with no training or very little training, a flip to 24/7 online learning and figure out how to design meaningful assessments, meaningful structure, meaningful design, meaningful lesson plans that still at least pay some lip service to our alleged pacing guides and our curricula. Because while talking about the coronavirus is super important, and it is, things like algebra into algebra 2, into trigonometry, into calculus. Unfortunately, there's only so much math that you can bring in or bring out of a conversation about coronavirus. Sure, you talk about infection rates and talk about like population curves and talk about the statistics involved with things. But I think some teachers are panicking with, look, my kid is in this level 2 of 4 classes, and if I don't give them that quality of level 2 stuff, then next year they're going to be underserved when they reach level 3. And that's real. Same with our world history classes or our Spanish classes. If they're trying to learn a different language and they don't know the present tense, it's really hard to focus on the future tense. They have to have these things in pieces and parts. And certainly history too. If you don't understand that there was a thing called the First World War, the Second World War won't make any sense. So even though, yes, we are living through history and we have to honor that and give plenty of time in our curriculum the space to breathe and give students a chance to just process what's happening, it is a challenge, or can be a challenge, to tie in things that are curricular with this, paradigmatic shift that's happening in the world today. So what does that look like? And I think for many of us, we're trying to do a tightrope walk. I think if one thing an instructional coach can do when we are in conversation is just to validate what you're saying and make space in our relationship in these conversations that what you're going through is normal. That makes sense. And it's partly what a good counselor will do. There's nothing pathological about what you're saying right now. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it feels wrong. Yeah, it feels like a kind of square peg in a round hole. And when students and families are dealing with the coronavirus and the infection rate or the fear, the loss of jobs, the loss of income, it seems like there's a lot of things that may be even more important than, chapter 4 of your latest textbook or, the latest chapter in that novel or short story you were planning to assign. And so having said all of that, and I feel like in some ways I am speaking out of both sides of my mouth, because your curriculum is important, but ultimately your kids are more important. And I think that something you can consider as a teacher, which is a wide departure from curriculum, at least to start, is the value of playing outside. And I don't mean hanging out with friends and throwing a slumber party or meeting up at your neighborhood park and all doing a big old thing where you film a group video. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying go out to your backyard or take a walk or go for a run or go for a bike ride. Or as teachers, is there something about the playing outside that can help us stay sane in a time where people are feeling cooped up, people are feeling stir crazy, people feel a little trapped? What can we do to give them a sense of bright light and fresh air? And if I pull my blinds, you might hear it in the background already. Ooh, that's my sound effect for the day. That's a very high production value. But even that thing where you just let the sun shine or let the rays come through and be like, hey, for a moment, let's open your windows. Let's open your doors. I spent a summer in Germany a few years ago and they call it Luften, where they take these windows and they just tilt them out. They don't have screens on their windows. They're windows that tilt. So you spin a lever on the bottom of the window and it just points outward so that you can catch cross breezes of air. They don't have a lot of air conditioning in older, village towns in Germany and Austria. But they just Luften. They just open the windows and they give you a chance to just get that beautiful mountain air come breezing through, or that beautiful countryside air just kind of, let you feel like your house is not so cooped up, not so dark, not so dank, not so creepy. And again, let me see if I do one more here. Just that sound, right? That sound of hey, breathe, it's okay. Because maybe going outside and playing on playground equipment is not safe. But there's nothing dangerous about opening a window in this time and place. And I'm wondering if what we can do is extend our physical classroom into this world where we're in the world of our students, but encouraging them to take the, oh my God, I'm studying in my house, I'm so bored, I'm walking around my basement, I'm walking around my bedroom, I'm tired, and say, push it out to your front lawn. Maybe what we need to do is challenge them in the next couple of days to do things that can get them outside. And we can talk about a bunch of examples. Something very simple could be, hey, sit outside on your front porch and read this chapter of this book, or read this poem by Robert Frost. It's about nature. What do you think about nature? Make a short Flipgrid video where you're standing outside your house and just telling me where you're in the leaves, you know. What do you feel about nature? What do you feel about the woods? What do you feel about, you know, about Robert Frost or Walt Whitman, right? Leaves of Grass. He talks about the power and the beauty of connecting with the oneness of the universe and how nature is, you know, a big part or a conduit to that. If you're not a literature person, that's A-okay. Maybe you can challenge students in a math class to say, hey, can you draw this equation using sidewalk chalk? You know, or like, can you step out onto your front lawn? And if you don't have sidewalk chalk, could you maybe, I don't know, like use sticks and rocks or something really small, sand, you know, some sort of leaves, rearrange it and make a representation of this diagram. But you have to make it on your front lawn as the sun's sort of shining, and you have to explain how you made this thing, what it is. So, you know, counting pieces and parts of an equilateral triangle, right? But you can make those out of sticks in your front lawn or pretty much anything else you can find out front. And just pushing it out. So, like, students have occasion to go outside during the winter months when it snows. I mean, if you're still in a place where there's permanent snow here in late March, I have a friend who's a business and econ teacher who will have students go out into the snow and make like graphs and charts using either food coloring and water. They'll just spray it out of a spray bottle, right? You know, or like out of a squirt gun sort of thing. Or they'll use like hot sauce or sriracha sauce where they can just like see a graph of whatever it is. And they're really excited to make these silly videos of, okay, for a waste of a little bit of a, you know, a condiment, you know, some mustard or some ketchup, they can kind of squirt it on their lawn. And it's a dumb, fun thing. Look, I understand I don't want to be wasting food in a time where we're in a space where, you know, people are hoarding stuff. But ketchup is pretty cheap, y'all. Sriracha sauce is pretty easy to come by. And for the cost of a little bit of, you know, corn syrup and sugar and a little bit of tomato paste, you know, you get the dollar store version of a bottle of ketchup. Hey guys, go out front in your lawn before the rain comes and draw for me a picture of what we just learned, but draw it with ketchup. What a dumb, stupid thing. But if for a moment, kids get to be kids and they forget, right? They forget this pain, this fear, this anxiety, this pressure, and they laugh and they enjoy themselves. And like little things like that are enough for them to say, hey, it's not gonna be so bad. I'm still a kid, I'm still here. And I still have a chance to laugh. And if you don't have the access to those sorts of things, you want to go more traditional, old school, performance-based, okay. Send your kids outside and say, hey, can you reenact the scene from a thing that we read? And that could be, you know, a scene in a textbook or a scene from, you know, their moment in, the American Revolution, right? Or a scene from their favorite novel where they go outside, they're playing the parts of 8 different characters. You know, one with a goofy looking mustache and one with a funny hat on. And like, there's no cost for props, right? They can just do it with, you know, a baseball cap. Just head outside and just play the part of a character talking from one side of the screen to a character talking the other side. There's a creativity, there's a performance element there where they're staging or replicating their favorite moments from what they've read, but they're doing it in a way that sort of feels fun. Like there's a laugh about it. So you don't really have to take this so friggin' seriously. Because it's scary. And for our kids, if we can design assessments that feel more playful, feel more joyous, feel more exciting, feel more welcoming, then suddenly school isn't the thing that they're afraid of during this time. It's the thing that gives them comfort and support and routine, consistency. And like a big push for this week, and I started on Monday's podcast, and if you have not heard it yet, please feel free to go back and binge listen to any of the episodes and message me. Likewise, I will keep the conversation rolling. But like, yeah, it's sort of squishy. It's not particularly like regimented, but that squishiness, that softness, that human touch goes a really, really long way in helping kids know that there's more to life than just you were born to pay taxes and die. You were born to get grades and die. Like, there's a lot of fear today. There's a lot of concern. There's a lot of real things that are way bigger than, you know, any one assignment we could ever think to drop on our kids. So why not be more human? Why not have a chance to laugh? If someone told me as a 15-year-old, hey, if mom and dad are able to get groceries, then step outside and you're able to have like a condiment fight, you know, like draw a graph with some mustard and some ketchup. Like, if I was cool with my mom and dad, we didn't have much money coming up, but I was like, hey, mom and dad, can I waste this 5-month-old ketchup from our fridge? She'd be like, go for it. Like, why not? And it would give me an hour's worth of entertainment for less than $2 worth of products. I'm not suggesting that teachers have to encourage kids to go spend an arm and a leg for elaborate props or elaborate themes or elaborate supplies. Nothing like that at all. But just using dopey stuff you have around your house. Can you go out front? Can you go outside? My dad used to say, "Can you blow the stink off?" Because you're a bunch of kids sitting around the house and you smell. So go outside, let the wind hit you, let you loft in, right? Go blow the stink off. And giving you a chance to just be kids, to have fun, to get outside, to stretch those legs. If we're feeling stir-crazy as adults with all of our coping mechanisms that we have over 30, 40, 50 or more years of life, how much more do we feel our kids are feeling trapped? Giving them that opportunity to go outside and, hey, this is dopey, this is fun, but for a little bit of time, just laugh. Food coloring. Go for it. Figure something out. Science classes. Hey, go outside and play with the water, play with light, play with nature. That's what we want to see. So our students taking a moment and remembering it's not as bad as we think it is. It is bad. In fact, it's much worse than many of us think it is. But there will be some future that will be after this. It will get better. We will get through it. And hopefully through that process, students will not have lost their heart or their soul of what they care about, what they love along the way. And that's really what we want to do, is cultivate that human element with all the activities we're doing, whether that's, again, in the classroom, outside of the classroom, any support we can give, remote, or in the physical proximity of our buildings. So please connect. Let's keep talking as people. If you want to message me, I'm on the Twitter at MeehanEDU. My website is AdrenalineRush.com. Like I said, new podcast every day through the corona outbreak for the rest of the school year. This is wild. This is unprecedented. This is, in some ways, very, very scary. And to have an instructional coach on demand, that's not a bad thing. So message me. Let me know what we can talk about. And we can talk further, certainly, both here online or offline as necessary. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we'll be back on Monday with more.